I'm Jim Meadows for Illinois Public Media with an interview with Carl Sporer, one of two Democrats running for Congress in Illinois' 15th District. Republican John Shimkus of Collinsville is the incumbent. He's defeated so many Democratic challengers that he didn't even have one in 2016. But Sporer says there are factors in 2018 that could change things around.
One, what's going on the national scene, I think that there is some pushback as to the current administration just overall. There's a lot of things that are being said and done that are rising a level of concern and really energizing a lot of people who have never been involved in politics to be involved in politics. I also think that my opponent, who's been there 21 years, you know, the question that people are asking on both sides of the aisle is what has he done for us in 21 years when they look around and they see how bad things have gotten, especially as you go further south in the district. The bottom five counties are falling into abject poverty, and people are wondering where have all the jobs gone and what has our congressman done to help that out.
When we talk about the bottom five in the 15th district, how has the Republican Congress and the Trump administration been passing them by, do you think?
I just don't think that they've done anything to address the loss of jobs. I mean, that area used to be a great union area with a lot of manufacturing jobs, and those jobs have just all moved out and gone overseas. As far as what they haven't done, tax policy. I mean, if you want to look at this latest tax policy, there are several provisions in it which actually incentivize companies to move their operations overseas.
And that brings us into a topic I was wondering about, and that is the tax reform law that was passed and signed in December. I take it you're not too crazy about it.
No, I'm not. And I want to say one thing. If you are getting some benefit, God bless you. I'm all for that. Where I have pushback on it is, one, the code didn't do anything to address the jobs moving overseas, which it could do a significant job towards. But the fact that 80% of that tax cut is going to the rich, the super rich, and to corporations. And if I was going to give a tax cut, I would give all of that to the working class people and not to people who don't need it.
Is that something that you would propose, a tax cut that favors people with lower incomes?
Absolutely. And a more progressive tax to people who are doing well. I have nothing against people who have done well. You know, God bless them as well. But when you see the desperation in some of these places and you see the income disparity that has happened since 1980, we've got to do something about it. Everybody deserves to have an opportunity, and opportunity for equal advancement in this country has gone by the wayside.
What's the impact of the farm bill on your district, the one that's, I guess, being negotiated this spring? What do you see as priorities for the 15th district?
What I'd really like to see to help the farmers is really, you know, their debt gap. If they're having a shortfall in the debt, let's change the subsidies, because you see the subsidies are being really taken advantage of by large corporate farms. So let's guide them to where they really need to be. If someone can't make their debt and has a shortfall in covering their debt payment, let's fill that gap. That would be the biggest thing that we could do to help family farms. The other thing that we could do that would be a major help would be to stop insulting our trading partners in Central and Latin America and in Asia, and reverse this dollar decrease per bushel in corn and $1.50 in soybeans, because we've lost sales to Mexico and we've lost all sorts of livestock sales to Japan because we pulled out of PTT. So let's get back in the world economy and start with at least trading like we had been on an agricultural basis. That said, I don't want to use trade as an excuse to ship our jobs overseas.
Wanted to ask you about the Affordable Care Act, which was really under fire last year from Republicans in Congress. It's still there, but without an effective individual health care mandate. Are there ways you want to change or improve this law?
Look, we need to protect it because it's the law of the land, and we're not protecting it, we're attacking it, which seems to be against an oath of office to attack the laws. Taking individual mandate away. Wait till October. If your premiums haven't skyrocketed, that's when the insurance companies do the readjustments. In October, you are going to be getting a massive increase because we've taken the pool of relatively healthy people off the rolls, and now we have older and older population of people that need more health care. So the law of averages is going to say that the price is going to go up. And the other thing that happens that I think that we're really missing is that young people, they get in car wrecks. They need an emergency appendectomy. I mean, they still have health care needs. And if they don't have insurance, where are they going to go? They're going to go to the emergency room. And when they go to the emergency room and they can't pay their bill, guess who's going to cover their bill? We are. Ultimately, I think that we need to move to single payer. I have friends around the world. I played rugby for 20 years here at the University of Illinois. Rugby players get broken. My friends around the world have to go to the hospital. They love their single payer system. All these scare tactics that are being used about quality of treatment and waiting lines, and they're just not true.
As we speak, the political parties in Congress are at odds over immigration. What do you want to see if you're elected next year as far as the nation's immigration policy is concerned?
I look at it this way. There are two levels of fairness. There's the level of fairness where we've brought these kids into the country when they were too young to make their own decisions. They've been Americans their whole lives. To me, there should not be a question as what their future. They're Americans. They pay taxes. They're productive members of society. But then we also have to address a couple other things on the other side of the fence. I do believe that having control over our border and knowing who's coming in and out of the country is important. And then the other level of fairness that people on one side of the fence point at is, you know, if there's a job out there and there's someone that is not legally in the country taking the job away from someone who is legally in the country, that's not fair either. And we need to look at addressing the whole issue of fairness as opposed to, you know, my side thinks that this is fair and my side thinks this is fair. Both sides have points. And that's true with so many issues these days. It's not I'm right and you're wrong. It's I'm right and you're right. Now let's be adults, get in a room and figure out how we fix these things.
Could you support any sort of compromise legislation on immigration that might include a border wall, which is what Democrats have seemed to have said absolutely no to so far?
I think a physical structure in urban areas probably makes some degree of sense. But outside of those metropolitan areas along the border, absolutely not. Let's use electronic measures. Let's have boots on the ground. Let's have a high-tech solution. I believe that a physical wall is really just an insult to our southern neighbors that can be defeated by a $100 ladder across a couple thousand miles at any point, and it's just a ridiculous waste of, you know, $78 billion that we need to be spending on education and in other places.
That's Carl Sporer of Mahomet, one of two Democrats running for Congress in the 15th District in the March 20th primary. The other one is Kevin Gaither of Charleston. I'm Jim Meadows for Illinois Public Media.